This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
I wanted to start with that video because that's my dog, Luca, and he's super cute and kind of needy and a little emotional, but I think he's defective. My dog cannot catch a tennis ball. To save his life, that moment, as you can see, is just way too big for him. I don't know. Does anyone else have a dog like that? Like, I had a chocolate lab before we had that dog, and that chocolate lab could catch anything you threw at it, but not Luca. The moment is just too big for him, and I wanted to show that video because I needed a little bit of a laugh. It's been kind of good for the soul to laugh, and it's also been kind of, if you've been here for the past few weeks, I had a bit of a moment a few weeks ago. It's still kind of a shocker. It's kind of hard to even come to grips with that I had heart surgery about 3 weeks ago, caused by a heart attack. Shocker of all things to have happen. I'm doing really, really well. I've had so many people ask me this morning how I'm doing. My heart is doing really, really well. I'm coming through kind of a period of recovery and getting used to lots of changes with medications and diet, and I get a little tired, so I may sit down from time to time, but other than that, I'm doing really, really well. I wanted to say a word of thank you to the church. I feel like, as the pastor, I've been pastored too. I've had literally hundreds of people reach out to me and my wife, and so just a huge thank you from your pastor for just the love and the care and the support, and a big praise to God, because if I told you the whole story, it's pretty amazing that I'm here with you this morning. In fact, I know that it's not helpful to play sort of the game what if. You know that game, right? You start kind of looking back on a moment that was maybe a bit scary, and you start kind of playing what if. What if that had happened while I was doing an Ironman or traveling to Texas or seeing my daughter graduate? And I know enough that that game is not very helpful or productive. And in fact, I think the moment that I've experienced is very much in line with what I'd kind of hoped this series would do, which is these times that we're carving out where we're reading God's word and we're taking time to talk to God about our day. We call that prayer, and we're carving out these little moments of solitude. All these opportunities are really in the realm of spiritual habits to prepare us for whatever moments we face in life. We're not robots, we're God's children, and we're designed to have this connection with him so we can go through these moments that are tough and challenging and disappointing even at times. And so I wanted to just kind of share this morning a little bit, you know, more from the heart of kind of what I've gone through and just some things that I've been learning, because I've been spending a lot of time in God's word and a lot of time praying and thanking God for bringing me through that moment. And I think all of that is a way in which we're called to live as his disciples. And these moments, I don't know what sort of moment God is preparing you for, right? You're like, gee, Pastor, that's kind of, I don't want to think about my moment. Let's just talk about your moment, right? And yet we all have these. We all have these moments that are a bit difficult and challenging, the moments that are just too big for us. What's your moment? Maybe for you, as you're sitting here thinking, maybe your moment will be sort of like a health challenge like I've gone through. Maybe your moment will be something else. Maybe your moment will be just kind of like what you already experienced, where you just kind of have those moments where you just feel nervous and you get kind of anxious and you have to figure out how do I get through that moment in my day. Maybe your moments are kind of the season we're heading into where it seems kind of darker and drearier, and your moment is, you know, I don't feel real excited about life right now. And you got to navigate that moment with God. Maybe your moment is Monday morning, 8 a.m., right? Like, you go to work, and you got to have that moment that you have every week with the boss, right? And the boss wants results, 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 and you're like, oh, how do I navigate this moment and not blow up my job or my career? Maybe your moment is in your relationship with your spouse, and you know, don't look at your spouse right now, but right, it's that thing that your spouse does, and every time they do it, it's that moment where you just want to, like, scream and throttle them, and you can't do that either. How do you navigate that moment? Maybe your moment isn't a bad thing. Maybe your moment is a really, really good thing. And you're here this morning, you're like, Pastor, I just got like one blessing after the other, like one moment of blessing and another moment of blessing. Like you get the job, you get the promotion, you get the recognition at work, and then you got to figure out, how do I live in this moment? How do I live in this moment with grace and humility and generosity? Let me just ask you this morning, I told you about my moment. What's your moment? What's your moment? And maybe you haven't had that moment yet, but what's the moment that God is preparing you for? And how prepared are you for that? See, that's what spiritual habits are designed to do. And I've learned even more at a deeper level over these last few weeks that if you don't spend time and you don't learn to connect with God, that moment will always feel way too big for your life. In order to navigate the moments of life, we have to allow God to build a deep foundation within us. And what I wanted to study this morning is I wanted you to see how God really cares about our life. He cares about the minutes, he cares about the moments, he cares about the months and the years that we have. And I don't mean to play on your emotions. I don't mean to use what I went through to manipulate anyone, but I'll just say for myself, these last few weeks, kind of the scariest part for me about having a heart attack was kind of wondering, like, have I lived my life in every moment? Have I lived my life as effectively as a follower of Jesus? And for whatever moments and minutes and months and years that I have left, I want to live as effective as a follower of Jesus as I could. And you're going to see this morning that we're going to be called to not waste the moments that God gives us. And we're going to look at a story. In fact, if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn to Luke chapter 13 in your Bible. Luke 13 kind of highlights the story of how to be fruitful. Jesus has a lot to say about how we can be fruitful in our lives. If you've been following along, I got to say too that I'm really grateful for Pastor Mike and Pastor Justin. When we started this series, I was actually kind of launching this as part of a doctoral thesis project, some research that I'm doing, and you're kind of all along for the ride. And a huge thanks to Mike and Justin because they kind of carried this teaching on for me, did I think actually better than I had ever planned to teach it. And so I'm grateful for them. But we've been in this Bible reading plan, and if you've been following along, this is actually the last week. Starting tomorrow is our last week of this 4-week experiment. Many of you know that my topic is to figure out how we grow spiritually in the digital age. And so in this project, and if you haven't started, you can still start. You can still start with tomorrow's reading, but we've been looking at how we grow. And so we've been reading from these selected readings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, the story of Jesus. And for the first 2 weeks, you hopefully read from a digital Bible, from maybe an app on your phone or iPad or screen of some sort. And then last week, Pastor Mike told you to kind of change gears and to put your phone away, practice resistance of looking at a phone, and to actually read from a good old-fashioned print Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, you can certainly take one. We have them in the seat pockets in front of you. We'd love for you to continue on in this reading. And again, read this week's message and then this week's reading plan, and then I'll also have a survey, because the survey is how I gather results, and that's how I'll actually finish my research. So if you love your pastor, as I've been saying, please, please, please do the survey when it comes out next week. But we're going to be looking at a particular type of teaching, and this section in Luke chapter 13 is actually really pivotal in the life of Jesus. Because Jesus, if you've been following along in the reading, he's been in this Galilee region. It's kind of a fishing village, series of small little towns set on a lake. And Jesus has been calling his disciples and training them up. And he's been dealing with mostly rural folk, like farmers and fishermen. And now Jesus is going to make this pivotal transition. He's going to leave the Galilee region, the fishing villages, and he's going to travel to the big city, the holy city of Jerusalem. I don't know how else to equate it to you. It'd be as if maybe someone today were to say, you know what, I'm living in Kent City or Newaygo, and you know what, I'm packing up and I'm moving to the metropolis that is Grand Rapids. And that's what Jesus is doing. But Jesus, along the way, isn't just taking a trip. He's always teaching. He's always looking for someone to kind of train up in the way of what it means to follow him in his kingdom. And what you're going to see today, especially in the book of Luke, from this point forward, Jesus uses a particular type of teaching style known as teaching in parables. And it's really important. About 30% of Jesus' teaching are in this form, and it's really important that you understand what a parable is. And so let me just kind of pause for a moment and tell you the definition of a parable. A parable is a small story with a really big idea. And the kicker with parables is they're kind of like this punch that you don't see coming, right? I mean, they've got like a literal way in which they sort of knock you off your center and say, you know what, this is, I wasn't expecting the story to go that way. And they're intended to kind of challenge you and knock you off of what you think is the way you're supposed to live and get you kind of thinking the right way, God's way of how to live. Now, just real quick, parables are not new, and they're certainly not just owned by Jesus. In fact, every culture in all of history has different parables. In fact, we have modern parables today. Just kind of fill in the blank for me, right? Goldilocks and the three bears, you got it. No one said cats. I'm thankful for that this morning. Goldilocks and the three bears, or the boy who cried, of course, right? Like, you know these parables, and again, they're kind of sneaky. Now, they're small stories with big ideas, and they're not meant to convey, like, deep theological doctrinal statements. They're not theological. They're more getting you to think of a different way of how to live. Even if you don't know much about the life of Jesus, you probably know a few of his parables. His parables are the most studied and debated and contested in all of history. Again, you probably know a few of Jesus' parables. The parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the good Samaritan, very common. The one we're going to read today, which would have fallen right in this week of your Bible reading plan, is one that, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard a sermon on. It's probably the type of parable that as you read it, you're tempted to want to skip over it because it's kind of a doozy. It's a bit of a whammy that's going to kind of sneak up on you. So, Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 6, just a short story. We read this. It says, "Then he, being Jesus, told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" As I said, it's a small story with a big idea. And you can probably tell by reading this, there's a point to this one. Let me just ask you, when you hear this story, does God care about fruitfulness? Does God care about a harvest? Let me put it in today's terms, right? Like, does God care about how effective we are? Does God care about results? You read that story, and most definitely, in just a few verses, the answer is yes. I mean, he gives a story that's really quite easy to interpret. There's a vineyard, and it's full of these fig trees, and yet there's this one fig tree that just is, it's figless, right? It just can't seem to produce any type of fruit. And what does the owner of that vineyard say? Kind of harshly, cut it down. Some of you are like, I don't like this parable very much. In fact, where's Pastor Mike or Pastor Justin? Who wanted Ron back? You know, like, forget it. Like, I don't like this story. This has implications about maybe me and how I'm supposed to live. That's kind of rough to read, Ron. And let me kind of set the stage for you with this. First of all, this parable is truth. It's truth by Jesus, and it's very effective at getting our attention. Now, let me just say, too, that this parable doesn't teach that what we would call kind of a works-based salvation, that somehow you could work your way into producing more fruit. Like, hey, I'm going to just do a whole lot of really good stuff. I'm going to be a really good person, because that would be contradictory to most of Scripture. In fact, we have a verse like Ephesians 2 that says, you know, it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. In fact, this idea of grace is really what carries the entire message of Jesus to us here today, this idea of good grace. We sang about a good Father who offers us his good, amazing grace. And And I'm only touching on this morning. In fact, a bit of a programming note. Come back next week. We're going to finish up this series on spiritual habits. And specifically, I want to talk about how technology impacts our families. I want to talk about how to be a tech-wise family in your homes, and that can apply to any home. And also, maybe but it might be something that maybe friends or coworkers or family members, you might want to invite them to hear a topic, to hear a message on that, the tech-wise family. But then after that, we're going to start a series, and we're going to look at this idea of grace, this upside-down, inside-out, countercultural way that grace comes at us, this grace of this getting what we really don't deserve. And we're going to look at it through this reading through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to study 1 Corinthians as a church leading up to Christmas. But I would just say very simply that when we talk about fruit in our lives, it's just what a healthy tree does. A healthy tree produces good fruit. So it's important for us as a church from time to time and individually to kind of ask ourselves, you know, how's my fruit? You know, how's the harvest in my life? How am I doing? Maybe a way to kind of metrically look at it is to sort of ask yourself, like, how am I doing in this idea of producing fruit as a good tree in the vineyard, the kingdom of God? Maybe you kind of look at it through the lens of, like, now versus last year. Am I producing more fruit this year? Am I producing about the same? Am I producing less fruit? And it's important for us to ask that. In fact, that's important for us as a church to be mindful of as well. Because here's the interesting part about the parable. It's talking about trees, and all these trees together make up a vineyard, and that's really the image of the church. And so as a church, we should be asking, are we being fruitful? And I was just thinking of a few things this week of maybe just kind of the behind the scenes as your church goes of what we're thinking, so that you kind of know, kind of like an inside view of what we think of what we're doing. We're always asking, how do we be more fruitful as a church and as a leadership? And so just take a couple of events that Pastor Justin highlighted this morning. You got this event next weekend, Boo Bash. I'll be honest with you, you know, Halloween's not like my favorite holiday or thing. I don't dress up. I'm scary enough as it is, you know, and so I really don't do anything more than that. And yet we have this opportunity, this event, and you could look at Boo Bash as something that, oh, that's just, you know, entertaining, or that's just something, you know, for me and my family, or me and the kids, or me and the grandkids. And if you did, you'd be missing really the intent behind it, because our intention is to take something like Halloween and to say, you know, we want to redeem that for God's glory. We want to take an event and we want to gather people up, and we want to say the church is at the center of that. And so when we plan that event, that's intended for you to invite friends and neighbors and people in your sphere of influence, and to say, come be a part. Come see what my church is doing on this Halloween Eve, and use that opportunity. I'll give you another example, because as a church, we're charged with being financially responsible. That's being a good steward as a church. And I'm so grateful we have incredibly brilliant people who watch over and, you know, and really kind of manage the finances of the church. I don't get too involved at all in any of that, but I am mindful of just our stewardship and how we're doing. We as a church need to be taking, I think, of how blessed we are as a community, but we need to be turning that back outside. And so looking at opportunities to be about outreach and benevolence and caring for people in our community and all around the world. In fact, just another quick thing, in case you haven't noticed it, there is an incredible install right on the other side of that wall, so kind of by the bathrooms. If you hadn't seen it yet, it was just beautifully done. It's a map of the world, and it's meant to be our outreach efforts beyond these walls, outside of this building. And I just absolutely love it. The whole map just laid out there. And I'll give all the credit to our deacon, Cindy Bergsma. I think she just nailed it with this concept. I think it's the most beautiful install we have in the church. And she's got this map, and on this map are these little red hearts of the places that Bridgeway has been called to make a difference. And so there's a little mark in Guatemala with our partner, Bridge of Hope, and a little mark in Indonesia. If you don't know where Indonesia is, it's a little bit of a geography lesson. And in Kenya with our friend Isaac Munji, and here locally with World Orphans and our partner Randy Phillips. And I'm excited to share with you that we're, as a church, we're trying to expand our reach locally and globally. We just added another partner. You'll hear more about this in an upcoming message, but a partner in the Middle East, in northern Iraq. And so we'll be talking about what God is doing there. And this is just how the vineyard, how the church demonstrates its faithfulness, its fruitfulness to the world around. I don't know if you've noticed, but the church is a big topic for me. And I'll be honest with you, it's a big topic for a lot of pastors because the church has sort of been sort of like out of favor in the public eye. And not so much because of scandal, but just because of habits and people being out of them. And there was sort of this trend growing even before the pandemic. There was an article that was put together about churches and how less and less churches were making it. In fact, in 2019, a Protestant group put together this report that said, praise God, 3,000 churches were planted in 2019. And then in the fine print, it said, but 4,500 churches closed their door in that same year. And you just look at that, like, really? And now 2020 was a bit of a wash, but 2021, this gap has widened. In fact, the data I just saw this past week was about 150 congregations per week in the United States, 150 churches closed. We see that even in Rockford, even in our own neighborhood. And so it's important to ask, are we being fruitful as a church? But I want you to personalize this morning, because we can't be fruitful as a church if we aren't fruitful individually as fig trees. So where is God asking you to just produce more fruit in your life? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking about things, and maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I need to be more fruitful in my marriage. And you start thinking, maybe you go home today and you and your spouse, you think about maybe some books you could read or some marriage enrichment opportunities. We're going to be sharing with you a conference coming up with Family Life. And maybe you say, you know what, that's how we need to show and produce more fruit in our life. Maybe for you, it's being more fruitful in your quiet time. You've been in this series, and it's been kind of hard for you to develop these habits, and yet you know there's kind of this nudge to say, this is where I need to continue to grow. I need to keep growing these spiritual habits of reading my Bible. And you say, you know what, I want to be more fruitful in my quiet time. Maybe you want to be more fruitful in a ministry and starting a way of serving, or maybe of ending something that isn't healthy in your life. Maybe your area is your own health and wellness, and you're hearing about my life, and you're thinking, man, I need to make some changes in my life. And you're just kind of processing, where is God saying that you need to be fruitful? Because that's what this whole parable is about. It's about a figless tree, right? It's a tree that produces no fruit, and this guy comes along and says, year after year, I've been coming back and coming back and coming back, and no fruit, cut it down. It's kind of this jolt of reality. And you know, I don't know, I read this story, and I can't help but relate with this idea, right? I mean, I'm result-oriented. I don't know about you, but there's some things that's like, if it's not producing results, like, just end it. Just be done with it. Let's get going in the right direction. I come from an investment banking background and, you know, portfolio management. You've got stocks, and you got stocks that are going up, and you got stocks that are just like dogs. They're just going down. You know, sell the dogs and buy the investments that are going up. And so you can't blame this person for looking at the vineyard that way. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're kind of like, you know, I end things quickly. Like, if it's not growing, I just cut it down. And God's saying, no, I want you to produce more fruit. And I think this is where the parable gets really, really interesting. Because you read through the story, and God's the owner. God's the owner of the vineyard, right? I mean, he's the one who owns it all. And then the trees are relevant to us and who we are. But let me ask you this morning, who's the caretaker in this story? I mean, who's the person who says, wait, no, give it more time. This tree has potential. Who's that person? You're in a church. I'll give you a hint. About 99 to 100% of the time, the answer is always Jesus, right? Jesus is the caretaker. Jesus is the one who says, no, let me dig and fertilize. This tree has potential. And I read this and I just think of how gracious and how compassionate God is. In fact, it reminds me of this verse from Psalm 103, verse 8. I was reading this week and just thinking about my life and what I'd gone through and just thinking about how the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. This should be underlined in like every Bible that you ever come across. This is God. This is God being compassionate and gracious and being patient with every one of us. I was thinking about these moments, and what if, for just a moment, what if the moment that seems too big for you, what if that moment is actually meant to draw you into God's compassion and grace and love and forgiveness? And I think that's where the parable kind of runs its course and leaves us maybe with more questions and answers. You might be hearing this morning and thinking, well, I want to be fruitful. How many more moments do I have? How many more months do I have? What if I have a really productive, efficient month and produce a lot of fruit, but then the next month it's just terrible? And that brings me to what I've been learning, because as I've been thinking about life, there's just this amazing reality, this illusion of the control we have over our lives. We have such little control, but we have all this opportunity to be faithful and to be fruitful. So I just want to challenge you this morning, and I want to kind of give you some ways in which you and I can be fruitful. In fact, I've been carrying around with me in the past few days this package of Fig Newtons. And I don't know why. Have you had a Fig Newton lately? I haven't really asked my doctor about these, but he'd probably rather have me eating these than a sleeve of Oreos. I'd rather have the sleeve of Oreos, but you know how these things are, right? These are actually, 100% whole grain and no cholesterol. So they're heart healthy. They're good for me. But I was kind of hoping that, you know, that you would maybe leave here today and have a rush over at Meijer's and just clear the shelves of Fig Newtons, right? And maybe like every time you see a Fig Newton, you're just kind of reminded that that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to produce fruit with my lives. And they're pretty good. I've had a few already today. They're a little dry. That was probably a mistake if I want to finish this sermon, but they're a little sawdusty, but I think they're better for me than the Oreos. So, but maybe you buy some of these, or you just think about these and you think about how hard that is to get down. I almost had to call the worship team up on that one, but think about how your life could be fruitful. Maybe what are some ways in which you can be fruitful with your life? I'll give you just two thoughts, two ways. First, I would say is you got to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's been really what this series has been about, is giving you opportunities, giving you moments and minutes and a little bit of quiet time to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I love this from Galatians 5. This is the New Living Translation. The writer Paul says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love that. It says that the Holy Spirit does this, that this isn't something we do. It's actually the work of the Holy Spirit when we're in step with him in our lives. And I'm going to ask for a show of hands on this one for just a moment. How many of you would be maybe just honest, maybe even a little vulnerable, and say, you know, Pastor, I'm not going to divulge all my deep, dark secrets here, but I'll be honest, there's at least one on that list that I could produce a little bit more fruit in my life. Like, just a little bit. Like, my hand is up. Like, I could be just a little more loving, not drawn to maybe, you know, discord. I could be a little bit more joyful, not a curmudgeon. I could be just a little bit more peaceful. You know, conflict doesn't have to be how you handle every relationship in life. And you could say, you know what, I could just be just maybe even a lot more of this. And the only way to do that is to keep in step with the Spirit. And the only way that I know how to do that is just a daily habit of reading through the Bible. We've been encouraging you to do that, and I'm just going to continue to encourage to pick up and to read God's Word. Maybe for you this is a real challenge. It's a heavy, heavy book. And for you it's like, I don't get it. There's weird names in there and people and places. And for you it's just one verse. That's where you need to begin. For others, it's maybe a chapter, or maybe you need to string together 4 or 5 chapters. And if you do that every day, in about a year, you can read through the entire Bible, and you can keep in step with the Spirit. Last idea, last thought is really about this caretaker. And this may be the harder one to apply in your life today, is to let the caretaker do his work in you. And this might be a little uncomfortable, because the caretaker sees all this potential in you. And yet you got to let the caretaker do his job. And it means he's going to dig up inside of you some things that aren't going to feel very pleasant, some difficult moments, some moments that are a bit scary or unnerving or you feel unprepared for. And you have to allow him to dig that up. In fact, it was so interesting. I was reading through this, and And he says, you know, let me dig around it and fertilize it. That word fertilize, you know what that is in the Greek language? It's the word dung. It's where we get the idea of manure from. Now, if I had two plates up here, a plate of Fig Newtons and a plate of manure, some of you would say, oh, I'll take the Fig Newtons now, Ron. I mean, I'd rather have the Fig Newtons than the plate of manure. But isn't that odd? Like, we want fruit, we want Fig Newtons, and yet the process is the caretaker saying, I got to dig around these roots and I have to lay down some fertilizer. I have to lay down some stuff that might be uncomfortable and what? And stink. Yeah. And some of you are like, oh, I get this, Pastor, because I got a lot of manure in my life, right? Like, I got a lot of stuff that stinks, and you might start to get a little edgy or a little angry or a little frustrated with God. I mean, I'll tell you, heart attack at 49, that's kind of a pile of manure and figuring out how to deal with that. And maybe yours is like that too, and you have to know that that is the process if you allow the caretaker to dig and to fertilize. It might stink, but fruitfulness, figs, is your future. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and just give us a moment. We're going to sing some songs as the team joins me on stage. We're going to sing some songs about Jesus, and we're going to give him all of the worship. And my hope here today is that you leave here, and you leave here not because just anything has changed, but that you leave here having met with Jesus and everything has changed. You know, what I love about Jesus is the moment was never too big for him. I mean, whether Jesus was in the vineyards in Galilee or in the Garden of Gethsemane or on the cross facing the sins of all of the world, it was never a moment that he couldn't manage and couldn't get through. And he is what's available to every single one of us. So I just want to encourage you in this moment to just simply bow your head and to give him whatever you're going through in life as we pray to him. Father God, I just pause in this moment and I thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you for the opportunity to live and breathe and just have our being, as the Apostle Paul says. And that, God, that you would look after our lives in a way in which you care so deeply about the fruit, that we would just be faithful in trusting you, in following you. And, God, it may seem like our lives stink and there's a mess going on, but we just this morning want to trust you and leave here as changed and different people because we've met with you. I want to ask you this morning, in whatever area God is nudging you, to not resist him today. To just simply open your heart to yield to him and say, God, wherever it is that you want to dig up and move in me, I give you all the authority because I want my life to be fruitful and effective for you. God, we give you this time and we thank you for the hearts and the people who are here and the minutes and the moments that we have to share together. It's all for you and all for your glory. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.